We read this verse last week because it also went along with, of course, forgiveness. Very familiar verse to most of us, Isaiah 53:5. It talks about the coming Messiah, Isaiah does, and what he's going to do for our lives. It says in verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So let's define what peace is. The next slide tells us what peace is. Peace means well, happy, whole, a state of tranquility. The death and resurrection of our Lord has made us whole again. It gives us rest. It gives us completeness. It makes all things well, like the old song, right? It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. And that also is a ship story. That song, Is Well My Soul, was written by a man who saw his wife drown and die on a ship. And after his wife drowned and died on that ship, he wrote that song, It Is Well With My Soul. That's the kind of peace that the world can't give you. It's the kind of peace we shouldn't have, right? If anything, we should, humanly speaking, that would turn into anger, resentment, blaming God, bitterness, you know, reclusiveness, whatever, but not him. He wrote a song about it. So to have peace means we're well, we're happy, we're whole. It's a state of rest, state of tranquility. It's just we don't worry about things because Christ took that burden off of us. Now, yes, we have life. We all know that. We have health scares. We have financial scares. We have, you know, our families we're raising. We have a lot of things come against our lives that can rattle our peace, yes. But I'm talking about a deeper peace than the superficial things of life that happen to us. I'm talking about a peace that says, you know what, no matter what happens, just like that preacher that was drowning on that Titanic, he had enough peace to die. He had enough peace to let go. He had enough peace to say, well, I can save myself and see my wife again, my kids again, my church again, whatever. But you know what? I've got enough peace that I'm okay. This guy doesn't have that same kind of peace. So I'm going to give it up to him so he can know the peace that I know. And what Bill said also was a great example. Are we asleep at the wheel when people are all around our lives? How much are we asleep that we're not recognizing their need? We're not recognizing their cry for help, not recognizing their cry for hope. We're not recognizing their need and their desires. Let us not be, the Bible says to be sober, to be vigilant, to awake to righteousness. The Bible speaks of that we're to be alert. And being alert means we got to be on duty all times as Christians. So peace is one of God's benefits. It's a great benefit. You know, Melanie, the words of famous Melanie, she always says, if you got peace, you got everything. You know, really think about that. When you have peace, you do have everything. So what the doctor says that, I've got the peace of God. So what my job just fired me, I've got the peace of God. So what this is happening in my life, I've still got the peace of God. And the world can't take that away. Next scripture, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. The prophet's also prophesying here the coming Savior. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. I'm going to bring order again back to humanity. I'm going to tear down the wall that kept peace away from you, that now you can walk in a peace you didn't have before. Nothing like knowing we're on our way to heaven, right? Nothing like knowing, no matter what this world happens, no matter if the big earthquake comes, if the big hurricane comes, if the big nuke bomb drops, to know I've got peace of God because I've got peace with God, that I'm going to be okay. Because none of those things can rob my inheritance or my promise of peace that he came to give me. He was a 15-year-old boy. I heard about it a while ago. You may have heard a story down in Mooresville. A 15-year-old boy that got thrown out of a truck. And he was studying to be, he wanted to go into ministry. He wanted to be, a teacher, preacher or something. But he was going to ministry. And he was in the back of a pickup truck, got thrown out, and killed. So everybody loved him, such a good kid, good reputation, good character. You know what? The family's going to need this peace we're talking about. Because there's a lot of questions that come with that. I don't care who we are. There's a lot of questions. God, why? I don't understand why this gift you give me has been taken away so young. But if you've got the peace of God will get this family step by step, season by season. God will hold them and God will help them. And it's a peace that we can't understand until we're in that moment. It really is not. You know, this is a lot more of a minor thing than this person losing their 15-year-old kid, I know. But when Melanie lost her grandma, Opal, her grandma was everything to Melanie. It's a big part of her upbringing, her life. And I worried. She loved her so much, I worried that when something happened to her, it was how's Melanie going to respond? And she worried about that. She goes, Dan, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, she goes, I mean, I don't know. I can't lose her. Remember the night she died down at Forsyth? She died at Forsyth in Winston. And I saw something happen I wasn't expecting. I saw a calm Melanie. I saw a okay Melanie. And I remember asking her, I didn't expect a response because I didn't either. But something happened. God gave me a peace that I didn't think I could have in this moment. But when the moment came, the peace came too. See, God puts the peace with the moment. That's why we trust Him. Because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We know yesterday is gone. But we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And so in those tomorrows, it's great to have that peace. And God is called, our Savior is called, the Prince of Peace. He came on a donkey, right? A donkey represents what? Peace. He rode on a donkey, not a horse. He wasn't coming to make war. He was coming to bring peace. That's why He rode on a lowly donkey into Jerusalem 7 days or so before His death, surrendering Himself, saying, I come in peace. I'm coming to restore the kingdom. I'm coming to settle the account and to make things right. I'm not coming for war. I'm coming for peace. The next verse is also Isaiah chapter 20, or 54, verse 10. The mountains shall depart. The hills can be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from you. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on you. Covenant. We know what a covenant is. Joe and Sharon made a covenant 50 plus years ago. Mom and Dad made a covenant. Tony and Brendan made a covenant. Doc and Dee made a covenant. Bill and Christy made a covenant. Roger and Lillian made a covenant. We all up in here made a covenant. Only one made a covenant yet is Brandon. That's it. We've all made a covenant. We've all come together to say, I belong to you, you belong to me. I will honor you, love you, keep you through bad, through good, through health, through sickness, through death, through life. I made a covenant with you. God's made a covenant with us that we can walk in peace. It's a promise. It's not something we hope for. It's something He gave us. So that's why I say it's a benefit for all of us, for all of you, not me and Bill yet, but for most of the rest of you, you're in those retirement age years. And you're Marjorie. You're getting maybe Social Security benefits, Medicare benefits, all that kind of thing. Because you crossed that threshold. You crossed that age. Sorry, I forgot about you, Marjorie. Sorry. Well, you're with Bill, though. You're with Bill. Y'all are one. You're in a covenant. So when I said Bill, that means you too. You're one flesh. Y'all are, and Donna, I'm sorry. Not, Donna ain't quite there either. I'm sorry, Donna. But you're receiving those, and I guarantee you know them benefits. I hear some of y'all talk. Y'all will say, well, I can't get it. You know, my medication costs $1,200 a pill, but my benefit, I get it for $325 a pill. I mean, you know them benefits. The VA said, I get this much a month for this and nothing more. I mean, you know those benefits. Y'all know how much senior coffee is at McDonald's because you get it every time. I want my senior coffee, my 38-cent cup. Y'all, you know your benefits. Do we know God's benefits? And one of them is peace, a covenant He's given us. That I can have the peace of God, not just when things are going right, but when things are going wrong. Not just when everything's perfect, when things are a mess. God's peace doesn't leave me. His promise doesn't abandon me. He doesn't forsake me. It's a covenant. And the covenant was given by Him to me. And He doesn't take it back. I think it's a powerful verse, the prophet's saying. He has given us a covenant of peace, and it will not be removed. It goes with me through every storm, every battle, every war. The peace of God is with me and it remains. Now, I might not always feel it, but am I tapping into my benefit? Am I calling the Jesus line like I do the VA line and giving peace of my mind? Now, I know I'm supposed to have that benefit. You're holding back on me, Mr. VA. So we're going through something. Go to our covenant. God, you promised me peace. You didn't say it was only peace when it fit my life or fit your will. You said you made me a covenant of peace all the time that you would not remove from me. So I can walk in that peace no matter what life brings. Next scripture. This is Psalms, I believe. Yeah, 29:11. The Lord will give strength unto his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. Peace is a blessing, isn't it? To not have peace is a curse. There are many people that don't have peace in their lives, and that's why they're tormented. That's why they're angry, why they're sad, why they're frustrated, why they can't succeed at anything, because they don't have any peace inside. They lay awake at night not ever having peace, ever having any kind of rest, ever any kind of hope. But to know that God blesses us, that God gives us this peace, that no matter what news we hear is not bigger than the peace of God, no matter what, you know, phone call we get is not bigger than the peace of God. I text someone this week. This person came to my mind, and I sent just a quick text. This is all I said. It came to my spirit, and I said, the depth of your pain does not compare to the love of your God. I wanted to plant peace into their lives. Whatever your pain is, it's not greater than the love of God. So have peace about that, because God loved you first. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. He first loved us. Next scripture, Brandon. This is Matthew 11:28. We know this scripture. It's a very familiar passage as well, where Jesus talks, and he gives an invitation here. Invitation to everybody. He says, come unto me. This is everybody. Come to me, Jesus says. All ye that are labor and you're heavy laden, you're burdened, you're overwhelmed, you're overcome, and I will give you rest. It's an invitation to say, if you don't have peace, I've got it. Come to me. I'll give you, I'll grant it to you, because you're not meant to carry that. I carried it for you at Calvary. I tore the wall down at Calvary. I fixed the problem at Calvary. I solved it at Calvary. It settled at Calvary. The Bible says it is settled in heaven. Settled. It's not up for discussion. Did God do enough? Is Christ enough? It's settled. It's done. It's finished. The plan was planned, and the plan was fulfilled. And it's all there is to it. Nothing more is going to be done to gain anything better than what we have now. Jesus is inviting all those people, saying, if you're overburdened, if you can't find hope, you can't find peace, you can't find rest, come to me. I've got it for you. He goes on to say in verse 29, take my yoke. Now, the word yoke is interesting. When we think of yoke, most of us think about eggs, right? The yolk of an egg. Or we think about being equally yoked together, like Bill and Christy are equally yoked. They may want to strangle each other some days, but they're still equally yoked. But the word yoke here, in the Jewish meaning of the context of what Jesus is speaking, represents submission, submitting. When we submit to God, something happens. He imparts to us what we're submitting to. You can't gain anything from anybody if you don't submit to them. You can't gain. I mean, you know, try going to your boss tomorrow saying, look here, Jack, I've worked here 20 years, and if you don't give me a dollar an hour raise, I'm going to take my toolbox and walk out the door. Exactly right. That's what he'll do. See ya. I'll hire another Jack. That's not submission. Submission is saying, God, I need something, and I can't get it myself, but I know you have it. So how do I get what I need? I submit, God. Yoke is submission. Jewish people understood this term as being submissive. Lord, take my yoke, submit to me, and learn of me. Man, people don't want to learn about God no more. They don't want to learn the ways of God. Their ways are smarter. Their ways are better. Their ways are greater. I don't need God to tell me this and tell me that. I know how to live my life. I can make my decisions. But are your decisions biblically based? Are your decisions part of God's plan? Or are your decisions just what you want to do and forget everybody else around you? There's a difference. So Jesus is saying, submit to me, take my yoke, and learn. Learn what I've come to do and learn who I am. For I am meek and I'm lowly in heart. And as you submit to me, you will find rest, peace, very, very synonymous with peace, rest. You will find rest, you will find peace for your soul. The devil is the great tormentor, and the devil is the great accuser. And the devil is always the one that stirs up the fear. The Bible says that God does not give the spirit of fear. Fear doesn't come from God. Fear comes from the enemy. Rest and peace comes from God. As I submit to Him and surrender my life to Him and say, God, I need peace in my life. I want to walk. It'd be like saying this. God, I want to cash in on this benefit today. I'm calling 1-800-JESUS-CHRIST. And I want to cash in because, God, I need my settlement and I need it now. J.G. Whitworth. You know, need cash now. I need my peace now. God, I need, and you have it for me. Why am I not carrying it whenever you carried it for me, God? You took that on the cross that I could walk in the peace that comes from knowing you, serving you, and loving you. Take my yoke and you'll find rest. Verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Man, we start letting God fight our battles. We have a peace. We can have a peace we didn't have before. We try to fight our battles. We all do that. And it torments us because, oh, am I fighting the right way? Am I fighting enough? And we keep finding out the more we fight, the situation just either remains the same or gets worse. But when I let God have my battle, when I say, okay, God, I need peace. I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to let you have it. I'm going to let you take this burden off of me. You know, 1 Peter tells us that, right? Cast all your care upon Him. For He careth for you. Cast it on Him. He knows what your fears are. He knows what your weaknesses are. He knows what you're battling tonight. He knows. In every season of our lives, we got different battles, and God knows them all. As we surrender to His will and His purpose, we will feel our burden lifted, and we will walk in newness of life. The story of the preacher just touches me to know that he's in that 28-degree water, knowing he's going to die. Probably had family. Do you know if he had family, the preacher that died? Did it say that? You know how old the preacher was, by chance, another age or anything. But to think about him caring enough to ask someone else, do you know Jesus? Him saying, I don't know Jesus. You need this more than me. That's peace. Oh, that's peace to let go and realize, as that minister, I'm coming to see you, God. I'm on my way home. And I'm okay with that. The cold waters couldn't take that peace out. The tragedy and fear couldn't take that peace out. In the middle of that scary, dark, cold night, all the minister saw was he had the peace of God and that man didn't. And that's all that mattered. Man, it's a beautiful story. John 14:27 says this. This is when Jesus was talking to disciples. Only got a couple more verses. He's talking to disciples, and his disciples are scared because he's telling them, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to depart from you. And you can imagine their reaction. Lord, what do we do now? Lord, you're leaving us, our Messiah, our King, our Savior. What do you mean you're leaving us? I thought you came to make everything right. What do you mean? What are we going to do without you? And they were questioning that. They were nervous and afraid and uncertain. Jesus responds to their uncertainties with this verse. As Brandon goes back, peace I leave with you. He's saying, I'm going to leave you with peace. You're not going to be left alone. You're not going to be left void and empty. You're not going to be left hopeless and helpless. I'm leaving you with peace. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Isn't that good news? When our trust is in the world, guess what? So is so is everything else that happens to us part of the world. If my peace in the world can take it away. Because the world can change on a dime. The mortgage company, try not paying your house payment to see how much peace they'll give you. They'll give you a peace, all right. A piece of their mind, right? A piece of their tongue. You better pay this or we're going to foreclose on your house. Don't make a car payment see how much peace they give you. You'll be having one of them tow trucks at 2 o'clock in the morning with a big pit bull in the front seat hauling off your car. Watch too many of those shows. The world, if your trust is in the world, you're going to be highly disappointed because the world offers nothing that goes on forever. The world offers nothing that lives on forever. The Word of God is the only thing that endures. I read a scripture Sunday night at a funeral I did, and I read out 1 Peter where the verse says, we are like flower, we're like grass, and the flower faileth. But the very next verse says, but the Word of God abideth forever. Then I went to John 14 from that verse that says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, where I could have prepared a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. So though the flower of our flesh faileth, the Word of God does not fail. He has made a promise that where He is at, I will always be there. So that's how I can walk in the peace of God. No matter what comes my way, I'm going to be with my Savior. The world can't give me that. If the world don't give it to you, like the old song says, right, the world can't take it away. The world didn't give me the peace that I have because there is no peace in this world. There is fear in this world. There is torment in this world. There's uncertainty of the future in this world. There's sickness, disease, storms, tragedy. There's you know, kids being kidnapped, kids being sex traded. We're seeing this all the time. There's no peace in this world. But there is peace in Christ. And that's one of our benefits that, man, we should be walking in. Not just sometimes, but all the time. I got peace to lay my head down at night. We first moved out to our house. Melanie was really nervous. She's got a little bit better. Still don't want me going at night. But she was really nervous moving out there, a little bit in the country, and no neighbors around us. And you know, she was so nervous. She still don't, you know, she keeps the doors locked all the time, keeps both guns loaded. She has, you know, was really nervous. And maybe because she is a woman, I'm a man, I get that. Men are wired a little different. But I wasn't. I was never nervous out there. And maybe, once again, I'm a man, she's a woman. Not that I'm all that, but I just didn't have any, worries. And I would remind her, and of course, you know, she throws the, yeah, but you got to use wisdom card. I get that. But I'll say, baby, I trust God to protect us. I trust God to watch over us. Yeah, but you got, no, yeah, but nothing. Yeah, but I understand. I'm all about bearing arms. I'm all about defending myself if I had to. I'm all about that. I agree with that. But I'm not going to live in my own house in fear. I refuse to do that. I've got the God of angel armies going before me. And I truly believe that God's hand is on my family and will be on my family, and that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and that He has given His angels charge over me to keep me in all His ways. So I trust that. I got peace to lay down at night. I don't worry somebody going to break in our house. I don't worry about what ifs on that. I lay my head down knowing that God has got me. And some of you may think, well, that's pretty shallow thinking. Look, if our faith isn't real, I mean, if our faith doesn't operate in a real way, what do we have? I'm not going to stand on guard all night because I'm afraid somebody might do something. I'm going to go to bed and go sleep. Do we lock our doors? Of course we lock our doors. Do we put both pit bulls and both German shepherds out? Of course we do. We don't have none of those. I'm just kidding. Of course we do. We secure this church. We have an alarm in this church. I understand people, you know, I understand that. But I do trust God. And I've got that peace that the world can't give me. And the world can't take it away. And the world cannot take away the covenant of peace that God has made with me. Ever. Let not your heart be troubled. He tells the disciples, don't worry about anything. And don't be afraid. I've got a plan. Now, we know what the plan is. I don't think that verse is up there. But the plan is, he goes on talking a few more verses down about, I'm going to send you a comforter that will be with you, that will teach you and show you all things. and you will not be alone. Aren't you glad for the Comforter? Because the Holy Ghost definitely gives us peace. To know that God's Spirit dwells inside of me and I have an active living force in my life that I can talk with, that I can feel, that I can worship, that I can hear from, that gives me what I need in the moment that I'm in. That's what gives me peace. So much peace, because my moments change. Your moments change. Doc's moments change. Gail's moments change. Our moments change from day to day, from year to year. Our moments change. And I need God to be God today. And that I have peace that he will be, because he said, I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to leave you peace. So don't worry, disciples. I've got you. One more scripture we'll close out. This is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians 4 and 6. Be careful. Don't be anxious is what it translates into. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Supplication is a cool word, isn't it? It's not something we use today. I don't think Joe Brown ever goes in a Best Buy and says, you know, the word supplication. That's hard to work into a conversation. Even when you're witnessing, most of us don't say, make your supplication known before God. Or, what? Just talk to God about it. But the word supplication means to make your need known before God. What is it you need? Let them know it. Talk to them about it. Ask them for it. He says, let your supplication, let your need be known with thanksgiving. Let your request be known unto God. And the peace of God, as you do this, as you surrender to God, as you give it to him, as you pray with thanksgiving, as you go to him in prayer, something changes. Now, I'm a Christian, and I'm a pastor, and I will be the first to admit, shamefully, that sometimes prayer is not my first choice. Does that sound bad? A problem will arise, and I immediately go into solve the problem mode. I go into fix the problem mode. I open the car hood, so to speak, metaphorically, and say, okay, let's see what we can do to fix this. And I've got to realize, hang on a minute, the first thing I should do is go to God in prayer, letting him know what need I have, making my request known unto him. And as I begin to actually talk to God and surrender to him, his yoke, as I submit to his, who he is, then he's made a promise that as I do that, that his peace, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, a peace that goes beyond head knowledge, a peace that goes beyond what I should be feeling, that peace will keep my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. So all of a sudden, my thoughts, my feelings, my emotions, my heart, all of a sudden I can feel secure where I didn't before. I can feel safe where I didn't before, because I took it to God, and all of a sudden as I give it to God, something transpires. I go from worrying about it to trusting God for it. I go from being anxious to being calm. I go from not knowing to knowing that God does know. And so I'll give it to you, God. Peace that passeth our own understanding. One of our benefits as God's people is for us to walk in peace. And there's nothing greater than that. To know I've got the peace of God forever and ever. Would we have that same peace if we were in the water drowning and someone else didn't have that peace? Would we have enough peace to let go, saying, I want to see you, God. It's okay. I'm good. All is well with my soul. Man, can you imagine that preacher who got to heaven? I bet there was a line on both sides formed as he walked down, as he walked through the gates. Bro, that was all, man. Woo, I can't believe you did that. Brenda, got mom here helping you pray too. We pray for Brittany and pray for Tony. Lord, we anoint Brenda right now, staying in your presence. First of all, for Brittany, Lord, as she stands in place for her. God, we speak against any disease being in her body. We rebuke it and bind it in the name of Jesus. By faith, we declare that she is well, that all is well with Brittany. And tomorrow she will get a good report that you will get the glory, Lord, and only you for this. We lift up Tony, Lord, as he is struggling, Lord, physically and emotionally, as he's worn down, as he's weak, as he's burdened by this. God, I pray for peace for Tony in the name of Jesus, and peace for Brenda, that you will overshadow her and give her exactly tonight what she needs. Touch Tony, God, with your power and your mercy. In the name of Jesus, we pray for these two people. We call them by name, for Tony and for Brittany. Let your will, God, be fulfilled in both their lives this night. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brenda, for coming up and standing for her. Told my friend today that we would pray for her tonight here at this church, that all would be well. It's in the Bible. Arkansas is in the Bible. Noah looked out the ark and saw, oh my goodness. I got to use that. I'll use that Sunday. That's funny. Isn't that funny, Joe? Noah looked out the ark and saw. Joe, you know that's funny. You like that. You get Joe to crack a smile, you've done something. You share that Walmart, Sharon, okay? When you go to Walmart, you work tomorrow? When you work Friday? Are you working at all? When you go to work at Walmart, Sharon, I want you to tell somebody, make it a point to say, hey, do you know the Arkansas's mentioned in the Bible? It is? Yeah. Noah looked out the Arkansas. So you share that. That's awesome. Okay, you got a long stretch, huh? Oh, you're on vacation. Okay. I've never heard that. That is so cool. Yeah. Attention, Walmart shoppers. Did you know that the Arkansas was in the Bible? You may say, what are you talking about? Noah looked out the ark and saw. Thank you for shopping, Walmart, and have a good day. That would be awesome. I would so do that. Okay. Let's stand to our feet. Close out in prayer. Father, we thank you for this message tonight. We thank you, God, it's a message of hope, and it is a covenant that you've made with us, one of our benefits that you've given us at Calvary, God. You talked about it in Isaiah, talked about it in the New Testament. You left us peace. Let us walk in that peace as we depart this place. Let us operate, live in it, walk in it, talk about it, breathe it, God. Just know that we can have the peace of God no matter what we are facing. We thank you, Lord, that your promises never fail and they are eternal. Give you praise and honor for being that Savior who is the Prince of Peace. Thank you, Lord, for these requests that were mentioned, Christy's dad, for Mom's special request, for all the other needs in this place, God. You know what they are. And we put these needs before you, God. We ask you move and you bless and you help these situations by your hand. We thank you and praise you for being Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You have an